I think we could go home now. I've been telling Josiah over the years that I really think she has speaking gifts, and I think you could hear that from her conviction. And so we have to talk after Josiah. So more, I felt like the Lord kind of spoke to me while you were speaking, but it's really neat what the Lord's doing with our church in terms of its connection with YWAM. Youth with a Mission, because we've had these connections with YWAM over the years. We had the team from Columbia come, different groups come, and some of you are already aware that in the place we're moving to, it's actually because of Hope Chapel, they actually have the YWAM base at that facility, YWAM Long Beach. And, you know, Pastor Dave, the pastor of Hope, his son, Johnny, and Nina, they just went to Japan to plant a church, and we kind of heard the backstory. It's amazing the Lord, how the Lord's moving, but we feel like there's something the Lord's authoring with YWAM and this connection, and it's going to be neat to see as we move in, and probably in January, so we'll give you more information on that real soon. Tentatively, we're planning to have our first service there on the first Sunday in January, okay? But we'll send you more details probably this week. But yeah, it's neat what the Lord's doing. And if you're online watching this message, I would encourage you to click over to watch Josiah's presentation. I feel very inspired. Very inspired. So thank you, Josiah. Yeah. So welcome. You know, for Thanksgiving, I hope you guys all had a good Thanksgiving. But for Thanksgiving, my family and I, we went up north. My family's from Sacramento, so we went up north to Sacramento and to celebrate Thanksgiving with my relatives, my family. And for the last couple of years, we started doing this just tradition, this thing, with especially since this year, my two grandsons were up there too. We go, and the two times now we've gone on Thanksgiving morning, guess where? To the Nimbus Fish Hatchery. Okay, now there's not that much to do in Sacramento, but the Nimbus Fish Hatchery, I got reintroduced it. I went there on my own one fall several years ago. It's actually an amazing place because in the fall, right around this time, you have the salmon run. And, you know, salmon, they have to return to their home to spawn. And so it's a cool place. And so I'm going to show you a little bit of video I took. I've showed it before the other time. I'm going to show you a little bit of video of this fish hatchery. It's really cool. So here's the first video. So this is a holding pond. They've come up the river. They've climbed the ladder. And all these salmon, these huge salmon, they're in this holding pond, just waiting in this pond. And then they have a place where you could feed trout. There's all of these, what do they call, raceways, of these cement raceways, where you could actually feed the trout for free. There's free fish food, and my grandsons were, it's funny, Caden, he has a whole cup, he dumps a whole cup in. Okay, but then you could actually walk, because it's right next to the American River, you could walk down to the river, and there's salmon down there. And I took this video. This is a salmon in the river. So salmon, so what's going on here? This is the river. I think what's happening is there's a holding pond, there's a levee, there's a holding pond, and water is going through, seeping through and going through pipes underneath the levee into the river. So there's these little tiny streams, and I think the salmon, through smell, they know that, and it's coming from the hatchery, actually. So it's trying to get home, because it can smell. So it's, even though it's a dead end right there, it scents, and they're trying to... They're struggling, she's struggling to get home. They go through all of this to return home because they have this internal drive. I have to go home. I need to be home. I believe we're kind of like salmon. That within every single person, we have this God-given drive for home. There's an internal drive. There's this internal longing for us, for home, and for family. This is part of all creation. God has implanted this longing, this desire in all of creation. Look at this verse here. It's from Romans 8, 22. For we know that the whole creation, not just people, not just animals, but even the rocks and the tree, every created thing, there's this groaning. It says, we know the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Moms, how painful is childbirth? I remember when my wife Dale had our three kids. I remember the first time, you know, they teach you, go through the Lamaze, you do coaching, you go through all that. But there's a certain point, she's digging her nails into my hand, right? I'm trying to breathe, and she's, it's painful. It's probably one of the most painful things, right? Right, moms? Painful. It says all of creation is groaning like childbirth, like giving birth. Groaning. Why? It says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly. Why? Groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. All of creation and within us, there's this groaning, like childbirth, that intense. There's this groaning. There's this longing. And it says, for the time when we will actually experience in our body in fullness our adoptions as children of God. You know what that is? It's a longing and it's a groaning for home. For home. For family, for our Heavenly Father, our true Father, our Creator. We all have that. All of creation has that. Groaning, longing. And on earth, I believe God purposed families and home to give us a little taste, a little actual tangible taste, a little actual tangible experience, a reference point of what his family and what he longs for with his family and his home and he being our Father. He intended families on earth to give that little taste of the heavenly home and the family that awaits the followers of Jesus. Unfortunately, as we know in Genesis, sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. And that picture of family that God had intended for families to portray, to give children the experience of families, that picture was tainted, was distorted, was interrupted. And sin, because of the power of the flesh and of Satan, through sin, seeks to destroy family or that goodness, that taste, that experience that God intended families to give. So for us, right, in varying degrees, our families gave us what they could, a taste and a picture of what God intended his perfect, beautiful, loving future home to be. And we've all, because of our families, because of none of our families were perfect, some of our families, you know, some of our families, if you were blessed to have a family that was fairly healthy, right? Fairly healthy, that was connected, loving, kind of a happy family, you were blessed. You got a little taste of a picture of what God has waiting much more for us. But for some, for others, family has been difficult. Family was unhealthy. Family was dysfunctional. Family was even abusive. So we're in the holidays now. We're in the holiday season. And a big part, right, of the holiday season, I would even say a focus of the holiday season is family gatherings, holiday gatherings, right? But there's tension because there's a conflict between a longing for home, the God-given groanings and longings for home and family versus the pain and dysfunction we might have experienced or that might be present in our family. And so holiday gatherings can be like trying to avoid landmines or trying to put on a face and pretend like everything's good. There's peace and harmony. We all get along. When we know, in some cases, there's skeletons in those closets. There's elephants in the room, and sometimes a whole pack of elephants that we try to navigate, we try to avoid, so we can have this appearance, family, that God intended. And we have superficial, false harmony. You know, I don't know the dynamics of your family. I don't know the dynamics of your family growing up. But I've kind of broken it down to basically there's three pictures of the connections that we can have within our family. So I asked a volunteer to come and help me out. Jonathan Poon, he's going to come and help us out this morning. Hey, Jonathan. Thanks for helping. Okay, so this is the one picture of family dynamics and family connection, okay? Okay, one picture. Maybe this is what your family is like at home. It's like, yeah, we're friendly, we try to have appearance, but the connection is very thin. And so when you have and you see your relatives and, you know, you go to your relatives and, not you, Jonathan, of course, but, you know, there's those that are people called, they're like the black sheep of the family. I have my own theory about the black sheep. I actually think the black sheep in the family is the emotionally healthiest of the whole family. Oftentimes, the black sheep, I think, this is bonus teaching. I actually think the black sheep actually is the most emotionally attuned to the family dynamics. So they act out. And then for the families to continue to function well, all the negatives, all the problems with the family, it goes onto the black sheep. So everyone else could feel good. No, we're good. Anyway. Okay, so your family, maybe your connection's like this. It's like walking on eggshells. So you're always like, is this okay? Oh, he's moved. I gotta go. Okay. Oh, I can't go. And it's very easy to care. So you have to be ultra hypersensitive. You have, right? And you feel like there's harmony because you want there to be harmony. But the harmony is very superficial, false, right? So maybe that's some of your family dynamics. Maybe this is a picture of your family dynamics right here. You know, this is your family dynamic, right? Maybe your fight, there is hostility, there is controlling, right? It's like, oh, he's stronger than me, right? So there's controlling, there's manipulation, right? There's fear. So the connection is strong, but it's a coerced connection, right? Or it could be like a codependent connection, right? So that, yeah, that bond is strong, but it's not a healthy bond. It's not a loving bond, right? It's based on all these negative, dysfunctional things. But you feel like, I can't get away though. How do I get away from this guy? Okay, you better have the key, Jonathan. Freedom! Or maybe this is, you're freeing yourself, that's good. Or maybe this is, I think this is more of a healthy picture of the connection. Because it gives, right? It gives, move, and give, and you have to work out. There's some tension, but you got to work it out together to keep the connection. So there's truthfulness. There's more truthfulness. There's more honesty. He, Jonathan, could be who he is, and yet I could be who I am. And so it causes tension sometimes. But the strength of the heart connection and the relationship is strong enough so we could work it out, right? Okay, thanks, Jonathan. So I imagine within your family, there's a little bit of the mixture of all three dynamics. And with the holidays here, I just felt like the Lord said, I want you from the Word give some practical biblical tips for navigating the holidays with your family, right? So this is going to be the first part. Next week, I'm going to give some other tips, and we'll dive in a little deeper. But I'm going to give you just some three tips today of how to navigate and how to, right, approach maybe your family gatherings. So first is this, or before I start giving you the tips, let me preface it with this. Regardless of your family dynamics, regardless of the family you grew up in or your current family growing up, as a believer, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you are a child of God, you have huge resources available to you going into your family gatherings. Huge, game-changing blessings and resources available to you. First, as a child of God, you have a loving Father who is all-powerful and absolutely good and totally and completely for you. And he's your true father. He's your real father. Your earthly father was meant to be and give you a picture, a taste of what a good father is, so you as a child could get a sense of who God is. But ultimately, into eternity, God is your father. God is your true father. He is a good, all-powerful, holy, loving Father who is for you. 1 John 3:1. See how very much our Father loves us. The God of the universe is your Father who loves you, who was even willing to send his Son to die for you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he's for you. That's how much he wants you to experience into eternity a blessed, loving, healthy family. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. That is who we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. I imagine all of us, all of you have people and family members who are not believers, who are not Christian. So our expectation of them has to be less, has to be different, because they don't know the Father. They don't know his love. They don't have the Holy Spirit. You do. You do. So I would encourage you, before you go into your family gatherings, gear up. Gear up. You know how you gear up? You connect with your Heavenly Father. You draw from your Heavenly Father. You connect with him. And you draw from him. That's why, like, learning to hear God's voice class, things like that, it's vital for you to know the voice of your loving Father so he could speak into you and you can receive his words, so he can direct you and instruct you and guide you and give you what you need, and you can know you have what you need from him as you step into your families. Second, not only do you have a loving Father, you have an eternal family. And hopefully our desire is here at Catalyst, you are able to taste some of that. It's not going to be perfect. Within our God's family here on earth, we're going to let each other down. We're going to disappoint each other. We're going to sin against each other. But hopefully we're all growing and seeking. We're all listening and have relationship with the Father. But you have an eternal, heavenly God family that's for you, that will support you as you engage with your earthly family. And so you have that going for you. We have that going for us. Ephesians 2:19, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You are a member of God's family. So remember your Father. Remember who you are. You are God's awesome child. You are blessed. And act like it. As you enter into different gatherings, as you meet different people, as you get together with relatives for the holidays, you are a child of God. You have your Father's backing, so act like it in those contexts. Okay, now let me give you the tips. Number one, accept, don't expect. Accept, don't expect. We need to deal with people and situations as they are. Truthfully, not as we wish they would be, not as we hope they will be, not as they can be, but as they are. 1 John 1:7. But if we are living in the light, you know what that means, living in the light? Living in the truth. Living in the reality of the situation. Living with eyes wide open to the dynamics that are happening within your family. Being honest about it. Being truthful about it. Calling it what it is. Not to dishonor, not to disrespect, but being truthful about it. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then what happens? If we live in that truth, if we live and if we're willing to courageously look at our families, look at the dynamics, look at the relationships, look at the issues. Honestly, if we are living in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. Strong connection. It's not like the toilet paper tissue, weak, superficial connection. It's based on what's there, what's true, what's real, what's authentic. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So when I say the tip is accept and don't expect, accept the situation, accept people, accept your parents, accept that uncle that just goes off all the time, accept your critical aunt or uncle, accept your crazy aunt, the children, accept the situations for as they are. And the people for who they are, we need to accept. Because you cannot control or change others. You know, that's one of the biggest tips for marriage. You cannot change your spouse. And if you try, I guarantee you, if you try to change your spouse, or for those of you that aren't married, do not go into your relationship thinking, that's okay. Once we get married, I'll change that. That's going to lead to train wreck. That's going to lead to disappointment and frustration. That's going to lead to wedges in your relationship. So you cannot. We need to accept people and the situations as they are. We need to accept it. There's something you can change. There's something you have control over. You. You are the, you know, sometimes, okay. Sometimes there's people that are in these situations, and those, you know, people that it seems like they're in these different contexts, they're in these different situations, and they always have problems. They always have issues. And the situation changes, the workplace changes, the context changes, but it seems like they always have problems, they always have issues. And then at one point you think, what's the common denominator here? Right? It's you. We can change ourselves. We cannot change or control others, but we can change or control ourselves. Albert Einstein is credited with saying this: the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. If you keep going into your family gatherings, same, and you think, it's going to be different this year. Uncle so-and-so is going to be different. Oh, yeah, my relationship with my mom, it's going to be different this year. Well, have you changed something? Have you done things to change it? Because if you're just going into the same situation, doing the same thing and expecting different results, you're insane, according to Albert Einstein. Right? And maybe one thing you need to do is adjust your expectations and realize the reality. Okay, so accept, but don't expect. Tip number two. Build beautiful boundaries when needed. Build beautiful boundaries when needed. Sometimes being around certain people is not healthy. Or being around them for too long. It's not healthy. It's not safe. It can be hurtful and harmful. So in those situations, it's necessary to build boundaries. build some boundaries. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. What is that? What is that talking about? Guard your heart. You need to set some boundaries around your heart. Don't give everyone and anyone access to your heart. Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. You know what that is? Him drawing a boundary with his time. Right? Who can say? Sometimes, you know, Jesus had every right to have the Messiah complex, right? He was the Messiah. He could have the Messiah complex, try to rescue everyone, and he did. But that doesn't mean he spent 24/7 just catering to the needs of everyone. Because he was human, he would have burned out. So he had to set boundaries. Nope, I'm going. And it said often, after being with people, often he had to withdraw to be with who? His heavenly Father. Right? So he could handle people. But let me just say this. I said beautiful boundaries. There's different kind of boundaries you could set with people, right? Here's a picture of some boundaries. This is a boundary. It's a flower wall. It's a boundary. You're guarding your heart. But it's nice. It's pleasant, right? Or your boundary could look like this. Right? Prickly, hostile, angry, defensive, right? So set boundaries, but what is an example of a beautiful boundary? Being gentle but firm. You know what you could say if you want to set a boundary? No, thank you. And don't waver on that. You know, I have a relative, I'm not going to name the person. I have a relative. He is very kind, very polite, but he has clear boundaries. So there's been different situations. Ask him, oh, can you do this? No, thank you. Oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. And he doesn't raise his voice. He doesn't get upset. He just says, no, thank you. And very firm on that. But it's very polite, very kind. He even uses it in situations where it's like, it's not even the right context, right? Right? Oh, can we call you? No, thank you. Right? But he sets a boundary, but it's a nice flower wall. It's not spikes and, you know, razor wire and everything. Right? Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. I know this is hard to do with family, because family knows how to push your buttons. Right? They know how to stir up. And when they go there and they go into the flesh, it stirs flesh. So you want to react. You want to lash out. You want to give it to them. Set boundaries. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. Set firm boundaries, right? But stay in the spirit. Okay, third tip. Last one. See and say. See and say, ask your Heavenly Father, ask the Holy Spirit to help you see people as He does. You know, often the most critical and harsh people are the most sensitive and hurt people. You know that saying, right? What? Hurt people hurt people. People that are hurt lash out and hurt others. Matthew 9:36, when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless. Other translations, beaten down, whipped, powerless, like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus looked on the masses, he looked on the people, he saw them through his Father's eyes, and he saw they're hurting. They have needs, unmet needs. They've been beaten down. All these things. And the compassion of the Father welled up within him for them. Although we cannot control or change others, we can bring a change ourselves. Because we have a good and loving and kind and all-powerful and gracious Heavenly Father, and His Spirit is in us to help us, we could bring Him, His presence, His heart. We carry that. We could bring that even into hostile situations, even into dysfunctional situations, even into situations where there's critical people. We could bring that because that's who we are and that's what we carry. And as the Lord opens your eyes, ask the Lord as you enter in, before you go, ask God, open my eyes so I could see these people, my family members, my relatives, I could see them the way you do. As he starts opening his eyes, you go, oh my gosh. And you start seeing things, then ask him to give you a word of encouragement to speak into them and bless them. That affirms them, not from how they appear, not for all the wounding, not for all the whatever, but you could speak into them according to who God really intended and made them to be. I've seen that in our Hearing God Speak class at the very last session, it's about people asking the Father and asking the Holy Spirit to help them see the other people in their small group and to give them a word. And it's a word of speaking into who they are, who God intends them to be in Christ, not according to the flesh, not according to all that, but who the Lord intended them to be in Him. And when you speak that into them, it's powerful because it's calling them to be who God created and called them to be. Not who everyone else, not who the world, not who their circumstances, not who their hurts have formed and molded them to be. That could be a shift in your families. That could totally transform how you experience time with your families. If you're willing just to take that little risk and step into that and speak into your relatives and family members and your parents and your brothers and sisters, speak into them a word of affirmation, a positive word of blessing and affirmation. That'll be like, whoa, who are you? You've never done that before. And it starts shifting the atmosphere in your family. Let me just close with this last video. This is of the salmon pond. Look. They're in this holding pond because we went there on a Thursday, but only on Monday and Tuesday do they open up the pond so they could swim into the hatchery itself. In the hatchery, you know what they're gonna encounter? Death. Because salmon, after they spawn, they die. And then, so they actually take them and they open them up, the eggs, they fertilize them so that they could birth new salmon. But they're waiting. These salmon are waiting to go home. They're trying to jump. They're trying to jump against this cement wall because they're wanting to get in there to home. You have that in you. The longing for home. It's that kind of drive for home. And in a similar way, you're not going to taste home until death. Yesterday, Pastor Dave Hino, Tim's dad, we had a service. And one of the thoughts I had is, even though it's difficult for the family, because, you know, we have a heart, we have a desire for earthly family. We have that longing that comes from the Father for his home. But I thought, he's home. That guy. He has met face to face his Heavenly Father. He has experienced face to face the glory, the unrestrained, complete love of the Father. He's home. That's what we all long for. Remember that as you gather with your families. Remember that you have a home, you have a Father, you have someone that loves you, that has all power and might. You have a future with him. So carry that as you gather with your earthly families this holiday. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we love our earthly families. Sometimes we can't stand our earthly families. There's blessings in them, and sometimes there's pain. But Lord, you have authored families because you want us to at least taste or know our future home is with you in your family. So thank you for those and for the ways we've been blessed in our earthly families. But Lord, in the ways that we have not, we've suffered pain or dysfunction or disappointment or hurt. Lord, let that be, redeem that to be fuel that awakens and stirs within us our true longing and desire for a home that's with you, that we might run to you and pursue you and open our hearts to you and be fully aligned with you so we can receive the blessing of being your children. And we could carry that into whatever situation we're in, whatever people we encounter, and even within our earthly families, and whatever gatherings you gather together with over this holidays. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.